So Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Long for Austin Seibert. It's short, and here's Brandon Wilson returning it. Wilson past the 30, past the 40. Wilson might take it all the way. He hurdles his own man.
The snap, the handoff. Oh, Trevor Tippett, he didn't. He did not hand off. He faked a handoff. He went to Ford. Ford was a decoy. He went in untouched to the left side. The snap, drops back, rushing, throwing the ball, and it is incomplete at the goal line. And the game is over. Justin Evans would not allow that ball to be caught. Texas A&M.
Blocked. The extra point blocked. It can be returned. Are you kidding me? Sean Crawford. Oh, my. Schultz dancing for the win. Texas is back, folks.
Well, there's not much to say after all that. One hell of a weekend. Let's jump right in. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you're a fan of any college team in the state, not named Rice, you got to be pretty damn happy today. That was one hell of a fun weekend.
Pretty damn good. Was Rice the only Texas team that lost?
I think so.
I think you're right. That's pretty wild. But hey, I mean, you can't win them all.
No.
And listen, with Rice's quarterback looking the way he looked with that mustache, I mean, they should have expected to lose. But what a, just as a, I mean, as a, if you're a fan of football, there was some great stuff going on. The opening week, I think, unbelievably lived up to the hype. I would have never thought it could have. Most of the games that were billed as the sort of super matchups ended up being really good games, with the exception of one.
Yeah, I think we only got one turd out of the good matchups.
Which really, for a half, was a good game. The Alabama-USC game, yeah. It was good for a little while and then it got out of hand, but I mean, there was some really good football, and I couldn't have been more pleased with what we saw.
Yeah, starting with the UH game, I just overdosed on football this weekend.
That was a great game.
That was a great game, and yeah, we'll talk about all these because we got 3 hours, and we're going to do a lot of football today because that's why we're here. But I think, I'd be curious what you guys think. I think that whole game changed when that, on the hit on Perrine, where that knocked him out of the game. It was, at that point, they'd been getting pushed around, and they came out and just laid him out, and then Baker Mayfield got laid out a few plays later. And from then on, that UH defensive line dominated that game. They were much better than OU's offensive line.
When you think about the University of Houston, even the good teams that they've had in the past, you know, 10, 15 years, the first thing you think of is their offenses are always great. They always score a lot of points. And the thing that's kept them from being elite most of those years is their defense is usually not able to keep up you know, as far as how good they are, how well they play. I would argue that, and listen, it's just week one. I was more impressed by what UH did defensively than I was on the offensive side of the ball. They are so much more physical than we've seen them before. They are very fast. I mean, it was a really great showing by that defense. And to me, that was the difference in the game. I mean, you knew Oklahoma was going to score, and they came out and scored really early. And I thought to myself, oh, this can't be good for that UH defense mindset, because they know they're in for a long day. But you know what? Kudos to them. And that's what a good defense does, is they say, you know what? Listen, we didn't come in here thinking we were going to shut out Oklahoma. We're not stupid. We're going to go score some points and then just stop them next time. And that's what they did. And really, that stop, the second stop they made, was 7-3, and it was about to be 14-3.
Right.
And they hold them to a field goal there where it could have easily, I mean.
After Mixon made just an incredible catch on that pass.
If it goes 14-3, man, the wind starts to go out of the sails a little bit. The crowd probably gets a little quieter. I mean, but that stop let UH know they were still in the game. They go down and they kick a field goal, and now all of a sudden it's a 10-6 game, which, I mean, it's a one-possession game. You're right there in it, and they kept rolling. And I think Oklahoma got frustrated a little bit that they weren't having their way they thought they would with that defense. So kudos to Tom Herman for having that team ready. Kudos to those kids, specifically those kids on defense, who I really think played an outstanding game. And, you know, egg on my face, because I started thinking, man, I have a hard time seeing. I didn't even want to bet them to cover. You know, and I talked about it earlier. I was like, oh, 10 points. If it's double digits, that's good for UH. And we talked about that for a long time until week of. And then I was like, ugh, I just can't do it. And they made me look silly, because they came out and that score, the final score, the game wasn't even that close.
No.
UH, I don't think that was like a lot of the times when things like that happen, when the big underdog, it comes up to bite the big national power. A lot of the times I think there's some flukiness to it.
Yeah, you ride emotion for a while and then you keep hanging around. Yeah. They make a couple mistakes. That wasn't the case at all.
That wasn't a luck box win. That was, they controlled them. And I think if they played 10 times, they might win more than they lose against Oklahoma. And part of that, maybe Oklahoma may have been a little overhyped coming into the season. But I really think this UH team is, I mean, with that defense, if that defense can continue to play like that, they're in that conversation for one of the best teams in the country. And I think they should absolutely be in the top 10 after that win. And now, the one caveat to all of this is, and we talk about this all the time, the one disadvantage that UH has as sort of a smaller school is they don't have the depth in the bodies.
Right. And that's what I was going to say, is as the season goes on.
Right. But right now, as long as they are healthy, you know, they're top 30 kids. They can play with damn near anybody outside of Tuscaloosa. I mean, I would think. I wouldn't overlook them again, for sure. So that was an amazing start to the season for them. And my expectations for what they're able to do, to me, have skyrocketed.
A lot of people ask me, how drunk did I get on a scale of 1 to 10? I only got to about a 7, believe it or not.
It was so early in the day. There was so much still to go.
I know, that's the thing. So I went over to a bar that I hang out with, and we watched the A&M game and the LSU game there and had a few drinks. And then people were starting to get a little rowdy, so I decided to go home. But I did celebrate. I did enjoy it. It was fun. And I wish I'd had the stones to pick them to win the damn game, because I had a good feeling about them up until Friday. It's just, yeah, I'd come off of enough as UH honk as it is. If I'm picking them to win, I'm going to look, yeah, maybe I let that impact me too much. But I made two bets all weekend. One was at Michigan over. And then the two games that I was looking at, I backed off and I would have been wrong on. So that's always a good decision. But I had a little bit to drink yesterday, too. And when I logged on to my account this morning, wait a minute, I don't have that much money in there. What happened? apparently, and I don't remember doing it, but I did punch a pretty decent ticket on UT Moneyline.
Oh, wow.
So, don't remember doing it, but
man,
I did.
And that game, you talk about an entertaining game. I mean, that capped off, I say capped off the weekend. I guess I did cap off the weekend, but there is one more game to go. But
I think that's got a chance to be just as good as, you know, all due respect to Travis Johnson. I think this game has a chance to be very good tonight. It ain't going to be as good as last night's. That would be almost impossible.
That'd be tough to beat. That would be tough to beat. But, but man, I mean, this is what we've been waiting for all summer. You know, we sit around and we bitch and complain when we don't have football. And
yeah.
This is why. This is why we do that, because this is what we want. And the
cool things we saw, not just the great games, and we'll get to all of them, man, I promise you, but the kick six return was just classic, because that entire
that broke them, by the way.
It did, and that entire, if you watch the replay of it, they had no clue the guy was even back there, and they didn't even recognize it until he got to about the 30 that, oh, holy bleep,
yeah.
This guy's running this back. And his foot's an inch away from going out of bounds and making it useless. Then I think Texas has the game won, and they get an extra point blocked. And it's like, oh, come on. Yeah. I was feeling really good about that. I was like, all right, man, good win for Texas. It never occurs to you that you're going to get an extra point block and run back to tie the game. And just so many cool things. And, you know, Wisconsin beating LSU. I can't believe that year after year LSU has that kind of quarterback play.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that's for such a great program. That is a that continued to be a bugaboo for them, and it's almost to the point of the total ridiculousness. I mean, it's just as good as Leonard Fournette is, and as much of a role as he played. I mean, I forget what the percentage of their offense he was. It was some absurd number. I think we might as well forget about him as a real Heisman candidate, because
the team's not going to be good.
They're going to lose four games.
I think they will
maybe
lose
more.
Four games.
Maybe more.
Yeah, because that. Well, although I don't know what we're going to see out of the SEC West. I know Alabama's good. I know A&M's pretty good.
Well, A&M tried to give away their
game,
too.
They did. They blew a 15-point lead. Arkansas didn't look that impressive. And we'll find out about Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Oh, my God. How do you lose that game? And
the SEC in general, outside of Alabama, didn't look good. I mean, there was a
shame.
And I can't remember if we talked much about that Florida game, but I think we both thought UMass would cover that. I didn't think it'd be that close.
Well, I thought the under was an easy take, which it was, because, like I said, when is Florida going to start scoring points that they should be giving up that many? It just doesn't happen. But Georgia got a good win, but there was a time in that game where it almost took referees handing them things to get them in it, and then they score a couple late to make the score look like it wasn't a close game. That was a close game. I mean, really, besides Alabama, what SEC team would you look at and go, yeah, that's about what I expected them to do to that team. They dominated the hell. Alabama was the only one. Everybody else, they were on the struggle bus.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm not going to act silly and say, well, the SEC's down, because that's what everybody likes to do, because most people hate SEC football.
That's the instant reaction.
But, I mean, I think it's the opening week. But I also just think that Alabama is way, way better than everybody else.
It's ridiculous how good they are.
And with the quarterback, if they continue to get the quarterback play they got yesterday.
Yeah.
Or on Saturday.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody else. They might as well make that a one-team playoff, because there are going to be three teams showing up wasting their time if that's the case. But, I mean, again, things could change. But that was an impressive showing, too.
It was. And we'll take some phone calls next segment if you want. 713-780-3776. If we haven't gotten to a game that you want us to talk about, we will.
And I'm curious. I want to talk to you and get your take on it. Bigger win for the program, UH or UT? Which win was more important to each program? I'd love to hear your take on that on the other side.
I will have an answer
for you. You'll have one saved up. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com. I tell you about these guys all the time. It's a local company. They're doing great things, good people. And if you like drinking booze, it's for you. Or it's for whoever you got to get a gift for. If they like drinking booze, it's for them.
They've been aging liquors in oak barrels is a tradition that's been around for 4,700 years. Deep South Barrels makes personal-sized aging barrels, customized, which expedites the process of creating a smooth spirit. It removes the impurities from house liquor. The oak wood soaks it up, and it does it in about 28 days. It's unbelievable science, and they're bringing you a new experience. Nothing goes better with scotch than a nice cigar, and Deep South Barrels is allowing you to take the same concept of aging your spirits. Now you can do. You can add a wrinkle to your cigar collection by infusing your favorite bourbon, scotch, or whiskey right into your cigar. Go to DeepSouthBarrels.com. Check out the cigar infusion barrel. Don't forget to use my promo code Hoffman. You'll get 10% off your entire order at Deep South Barrels, DeepSouthBarrels.com. Age your spirits and cigars to perfection with Deep South Barrels. DeepSouthBarrels.com. Promo code Hoffman for 10% off.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Labor Day. Hope you're having a good one. Hope you're enjoying some grilling and some beer. Have one for us. All right. So you asked me a question before we went to break.
I did. I wanted to know, obviously, they were both big wins. There was a big win for Texas and a big win for University of Houston. And both upsets. Which do you think meant more to the program?
I actually think it's a lot closer than you would think, even though Texas is supposed to do this.
I think it's absolutely close.
Texas is supposed to be beating the Notre Dames of the world.
Right, but they haven't in a long time.
They haven't, and I think it means a lot. It means that I'm probably right that they're going to be a 9-win type team this year, which I thought going in. Although they still got some tough games ahead. But in reality, if you just kind of line them up next to each other, I think that win for UH is probably is one of the most significant in program history in terms of what it means, what they've done. I mean, they had some big wins in the past, but to beat the number three team, and so I think it was ESPN tweeted it out. It was kind of interesting. There was a, it may have been a TV graphic where they showed the last four times UH has not been favored, and how they've rolled every one of those teams, including being big dogs. But in this case, with it being part of this weekend, with it being against a program like that, with all the stuff that's on the line out there right now, to have that kind of performance, and the Big 12's got to take notice. I think this is this is the kind of win, and I don't really think it's going to matter in the end. And they may look at those TV numbers, which were sick, but I think it's a bigger win for UH. And I'm tempted to say Texas because if Charlie Strong keeps his job, then that's one less place for Tom Herman to go.
Well, that's true.
But realistically, though, I think it was because of what you expect these programs to be, I think it was bigger for UH. But I think it is a debate. I think it's pretty close, actually.
Well, and specifically because UH has changed their expectations. Like, UH has changed what people expect of them over the last couple, or at least since Tom Herman's been here. And I think Texas expectations have been significantly pulled back. And this was a game for Texas where if they would have come out and just gotten drubbed, boy, the Charlie Strong's got to go talk would have been strong. What are you doing starting a freshman quarterback who, by the way, I might be in love with Shane Bouchel. That guy, he made a couple throws and a couple that were dropped.
Yep.
That game shouldn't have gone to overtime, but he looked great. And kind of, so it's almost like, UH, they're exceeding expectations, but their expectations now have gotten to the point where it's hard for them to exceed them. And Texas has been underachieving for so long that maybe it didn't take a lot to get them back on the right track. But I'm with you. I think it's very close. I think both those programs couldn't have asked for a better start to the season. And
how about the way that Texas rotated those quarterbacks? I thought they did a perfect job of using Swoops at the right time.
Which is normally stupid, in my opinion.
Yeah, it usually is, but, boy, they did it right last night.
Yeah.
You can't ask for much better than that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's squeeze in a phone call. Jacob, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
I was listening to y'all just earlier, and so
You asleep?
I was watching some Baylor football this weekend.
Is he?
I don't know what's going on with this
guy. Yeah. I think Jacob's been drinking a little bit today.
What is happening here?
I don't know.
Well, okay. We did not mention Baylor.
No.
Who I saw on our Blitz Facebook page.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you? You didn't mention Baylor?
No, I didn't.
You didn't mention Baylor's dominant win over Northwestern State? Why not?
No, I did Coug, Aggie, Longhorn, and Tech.
And Frog.
Oh, and Frog. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you blatantly left off.
I did.
Baylor.
I did.
Why? Because of rapists?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't like them?
No.
You're anti-rape.
I'm anti-rape.
You have been for a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long-term stance with you.
Yeah, all my life I've been anti-rape.
Yeah, you're no Johnny come lately to this anti-rape thing.
And I think a lot of people, I think Baylor fan got mad.
Baylor fan thinks that we hate their program because I was one of the people to first come out and say, let's stop playing around and fire Art Briles. And they hated that. And then Art Briles got fired. And it's the media's fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, no, it's not. It's Art Briles' fault that he got fired. And it's nothing to do with I hate Baylor. Because let me tell you, if there was any other coach of any other program who was harboring rapists, I would say he should be fired too. And that goes for whatever team at whatever level you want to put it. So quit blaming the people who talk about it. Blame the people who did it. But yes, Baylor with a nice win, which I think we said, you know, coming into this week, I'm still curious about what Baylor's going to be. I don't think we'll know if Baylor's really regressed or not until they get into the conference schedule.
Yeah.
And that Oklahoma State game is kind of the first one, which is like week 4, week 5.
Well, I know they weren't playing much, but they look like they didn't miss a beat. And the difference here is that they took their foot off the gas, which they would not do under Briles. But I think if you're a Baylor fan, you're not going to know anything until conference.
That had to be Jim Grobe's biggest win ever.
Probably.
I know he wouldn't. I know he wouldn't win him by 48 at Wake Forest.
No.
But yeah, I mean, good for Baylor. And listen, I hope Baylor is able to build back up a program, you know, from these ashes, if you want to call them that. And it'd be nice if they didn't fall off that much. I don't have anything against Baylor other than what the players were doing and the coaching staff, and really way beyond just the football staff, all the way up the chain, was doing to cover it up. I mean, I've never, until this happened, I've never once said, oh, I really want Baylor to go back to winning no games. I don't have anything against Baylor, except until that happened. And then I was like, well, that's not great. It's not a great look. They should probably clear out the people involved. I hope they go back to winning.
And they finally did. They finally did.
Eventually, when the pressure got too much. But hell, for the longest time, there was no way to drum up enough pressure. And it's not that I don't like Baylor. I just don't like what happened at Baylor, and I don't like the people that were involved in it being able to stay around for as long as they did. And quite frankly, if you're a Baylor fan, you should be ashamed of that too. You should want those people out, and you should want to be a program that can win without that behavior happening at your school. That's the hope, right?
Absolutely.
So it's nothing against Baylor. I want Baylor to do as well. I don't dislike Baylor, you know, any more than I dislike any other school in this state. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. But I don't have any agenda against Baylor outside of the agenda that was accomplished when they cleaned house from that disaster.
Five teams in Texas could be in the top 25 this week.
Baylor, TCU, Aggie in Texas?
Yeah, I think Texas.
I think they all should be.
Don't they have to be ranked after those wins?
They beat a top 10 team, of course.
Yeah, and Texas and A&M are always going to get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to stuff like that. So,
I
expect there to be five teams in the state ranked when the poll comes out tomorrow.
That's pretty crazy.
It's
great.
It's pretty cool.
It's great. It's been a while since, and listen, it's 1 week.
Yeah, it won't last that long.
And specifically, like, what's craziest about that is UH is probably the one I have the most confidence in being in the top 25 at the end of the year. Like, if you said, well, the rest of these teams are going to fall off, one team is still going to be in the top 25, I'd put my money on UH to be that one team. I think TCU's probably close behind them.
TCU, I think they're pretty safe. But
hell, I mean,
if they go in and lose to OU or Oklahoma State and lose a couple games, they could fall out. But yeah, I think they're pretty good.
After 1 week, good for this state who's had some bleak years.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
Really, it's been brutal mostly because Texas and Texas A&M have underachieved.
Yeah.
And it's funny how those two schools playing well and playing up to what their expectations are.
It raises everybody else.
It does. It really does. Because we've seen Baylor and TCU in the playoff hunt for the last several years, and everybody's still like, the Big 12 kind of sucks. You know, the state of Texas isn't doing what it used to do. All it takes is those two schools playing well, and everybody's like, oh, everything's good in Texas.
Yep.
It's very funny. Maybe not fair, but that's the way it is. All right, guys. Football season, we're in the groove now. It's happening. I don't know what you guys were watching your football game on. I hope it wasn't some beat up old recliner or hell, maybe you had to like bring a chair in from the dining room to sit down. That's not good. That's a bad look. The time is now, though, to get the home theater seat that you want and need, because Town & Country's Leather's home theater seating sale is still going on. You can buy 3 power reclining theater seats for $29.99 and get the fourth one free. That's a savings of $1,000. That's right, a 4-seat row. Your choice of 10 colors for just $29.99. They'll set it up how you want. If you want it to be the straight line, you want to go with the sort of horseshoe look, you want to spread it out a little, you can do that. They'll set it up however you want. It's just in time for football. Town & Country Leather's home theater seating sale. You're not going to find deals like this, guys. These are quality seats at a quality price. Visit Town & Country Leather at their Post Oak and San Felipe location, or visit them online, townandcountryleather.com. That's townandcountryleather.com. The Town & Country Leather home theater seating sale going on now.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Brother Bear asks, what's more alarming, Dallas Keuchel's second scratched start or Greg Ward Jr.'s injury? From what I understand on the Ward injury, he had an MRI and it's... he's going to be back at practice Wednesday. I don't play him this week if it's even a little sore. You don't need him against Lamar. And
you don't have to win by, I mean, you might win by 28 instead of 42.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
And that game right after that is one of the real trap games that I'm worried about for them, and that's at Cincinnati on a Thursday night.
One other thing on the UH front, I got to watch Louisville play a little bit.
That's a good team, too.
They are really good.
That quarterback is a lot like Greg Ward. He's just bigger.
Yeah.
He can run. He can throw. His passing's much better, just like Ward's is.
And, you know, that's another team that has, obviously good coaching and is going to be able to match talent and coaching with UH. And there's not many schools on their schedule left that is going to be able to do that. So,
And at that point of the season, you don't know how injuries are going to affect things. So that one's going to be interesting. And if they get to that point in mid-November where it means something, that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's a good Louisville team, man. I think they're going to – they may surprise some people this year.
They could.
Let's try some phone calls. Jason.
Hey, sporty Monday to you both. How are
sporty
you?
Sporty to you.
Hey, I'm glad y'all came into work today. I do appreciate that. Hey, the U of H fans, they aren't getting hardly any credit. It was loud in there. It was super loud in there. And before the game started, the OU crowd, I thought was going to be the louder one just by the introductions and everything. But it was a nice crowd. And I think they played a big part in it as well. Also, next week, Arkansas and TCU, we played like crap against Louisiana Tech. Do you see them going into TCU and having a chance?
I think they have a chance. I don't think I would pick them to win that game. I don't think they showed a whole hell of a lot against Louisiana Tech. I think they were holding some stuff back. And they'll play a lot better But TCU's no joke. That's a good football team. And I think Arkansas can get in there and out physical them. I think you'll see a better performance out of Arkansas. I just don't know if I'd pick them to win.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten to where I thought Arkansas was going to be a little bit better than what they looked this weekend. But, again, it's just 1 week. I mean, things can change. But that was a that was an underwhelming performance for them.
Yeah. Let's try Will. What's up, Will?
Hey, big guys. How y'all doing sports?
Doing sportsy, man. What's up?
Hey, earlier you were talking about the SEC and possibly maybe a little bit overrated.
I didn't say that.
Nobody said that.
I didn't say that. I just said with the exception of Alabama, they didn't look great week one.
I absolutely agree with you. But Alabama is in a league above every other team in the country, not just the SEC.
I agree with that as well. I watched all the top 10, all top 15 teams play, and I don't think there's a team in the nation that you put them on the field with Alabama that they're going to hang. And for them to do what they did to USC, and really USC, to their credit, they hung in there for a while, and I was really impressed with the way that USC defense looked for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. They looked fast. They looked aggressive, and I was like, man, maybe USC's legit. And then the wheels started to come off. And Bama, even on the offensive line, they rotate guys through. And defensive line, they're able to rotate six, seven players through. And that USC O-line started to wear down. And you could just see it start to crumble. And that USC, they couldn't get it to their best playmaker, maybe their only playmaker. That quarterback looked terrified. I mean, it was just... And that they may be, USC may end up being a pretty good team. Alabama would have made a lot of teams look like that, though, the way they played this week. They would have made a lot of teams look really, really awful.
Yeah, I don't know who could have given. And I don't know how the season's going to play out for them, but as of right now, they just look like they're bigger and faster and better than everybody and better coached.
You saw the probably the consensus number two team in the country in Clemson. And Clemson doesn't look like half the team that Alabama does right now.
I kind of want to get a look at Florida State.
I do, too.
And we'll get them tonight.
You know, and I should say, Ohio State looked good, but
yeah,
that's not really
Michigan
fair.
Looked good, but...
Right. Yeah. So, but, I mean, for Alabama to be on the field with a team that's got some legit talent, and for them to just pull their pants down in front of everybody...
Yeah.
That's an impressive showing, man.
Alabama's pretty good in these opening games. So. Of course, they're pretty good in every game they play.
Yeah, so. They're just good.
And I think if we go back and listen to RJ's thing and some of the stuff he was getting to on USC, I think he saw it coming like that. You know, basically, all the Alabama numbers pointed to that. Let's grab Rick real quick. What's up, Rick?
Sports. Look. If I was to tell you that you had the best player in college football, arguably, but definitely the top five, one of the top five best players in college football on the offensive side of your the ball on your team, and you only mustered six offensive points, and he wasn't a part of the game, that's a coaching problem. And I'm talking about LSU.
You have
arguably the best player in college football in Leonard Fournette at running back. You can argue this one may be better or that one may be better, but we can't argue he's a top five in college football and probably the best running back. And you only muster six offensive points, and he's not the one that scored them. That is a coaching problem.
I agree with that in a way, but I also think it's a problem that they clearly were game planning to not let Leonard Fournette beat them. And Leonard Fournette still was easily the best player on the field for them. I mean, he still got his. I just think that once they saw that there was nothing that quarterback was going to do, then they said, you know what, we'll just take away Leonard Fournette and see what they can do. And the answer was nothing. There was nothing else they could do. I think Leonard Fournette... Well, I don't know that he was necessarily underutilized in that game. I mean, he had 23 carries and had a few catches, too. That's a lot, you know. They just
the rest of the team did nothing. And I don't, I mean, are you going to give the guy the ball 30 times? They ran it with him quite a bit. They're just, at some point, you've got to ask that quarterback to do something other than turn the ball over and get sacked.
So funny that LSU loses this game and all the fire Les Miles people come out of the woodwork. Same thing would happen to it if Texas had lost.
Of course.
If A&M had lost. And yeah, that was a pretty good team we were playing against, for one thing. And yes, he is one of the five best players in college football. He may be the best, but he's also a running back. And you can take that away, especially if you've got some pretty good players. And he still had a good game, but it's hard for a guy like that to carry you. That's why you may have a guy who's a quarterback who's the 10th best player in college football. You're going to win more games with that quarterback.
Yeah.
And you don't have one.
But you're not going to win many with Brandon Harris playing the way that he played. And the reality is Wisconsin didn't get great quarterback play either.
No.
It's funny how instantly we say, well, Wisconsin didn't get great quarterback play because they were playing against LSU's defense. Wisconsin's been pretty good on defense for several years.
Yeah.
I said this the other, right before the weekend, I said Wisconsin's a hard team to blow out other than 2 years ago when Ohio State played them in the Big Ten Championship and just
it
owned them, dismantled them. And by the way, that Ohio State team was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's not an easy team to beat up on. I mean, they crave the same style of game that LSU does. They want to make it physical and beat you up. And this time they were just better. And Leonard Fournette, I don't think there's any question he was the best player on the field, but just wasn't enough. Just wasn't enough. And which, speaking of not enough, that weak-ass suspension that they're doling out for that cheap shot,
yeah,
that ain't enough, bro.
No, it's not.
That ain't enough. And I think they did a similar one for USC, and the guy who stomped that dude in the balls. Got to start teaching these guys some lessons. You can't go around doing whatever you want on these fields. And suspending guys for a half against some scrub school,
that's
just it's very odd to me. All right, guys. Yeah, I mean, you could at least suspend them for the whole game. You don't need those guys. But maybe LSU does need that guy. I got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. It's a long weekend. Cops are out. They're trying to bust you guys, trying to give out DWIs. Sometimes even unwarranted DWIs. So if you got arrested for DWI, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you, a lot of things about those tests you should know about. Breath tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. The police breath testing machines aren't even warranted fit for breath testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and destroy that evidence, making recheck and improving your innocence impossible. Failing the breath test, not the end of the world. Juries are too smart for that. Same with the blood test. Plenty of inaccuracies about police blood testing. It can't identify alcohol from any other substance. It's just not great science. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four in the entire state. And he's experienced in telling the truth about police blood tests. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, boating while intoxicated, you name it, call attorney Gary Trichter. You can't afford not to have his number in your cell phone. 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Fun Day with the HD show. I don't think I could handle another day of drinking. I'm kind of glad we had a show today. I needed a day to recover.
Good for you.
Yesterday, went on a long bike ride and stopped over at Christian's and had a couple beers and thought, okay, let's swing by that brewery and have a couple beers over there, that under the radar, and then go home, spend the rest of the day, get ready for football. Get over there, have a couple. The wife's got one of those watches like you have, and it says rain coming in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we're on the bikes. We need to get the hell out of here. And her friends were there, and she's like, oh, we got time for one more. That thing was spot on because we're there 15 more minutes. We get about 2 minutes into it and just got soaked to death. It was hilarious. And I was just telling her, I told you to leave.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got caught in the rain like an idiot.
Sorry. Oh, sorry for your loss. It rains every day.
I'm so sick of it.
It's absurd. Lamont says LSU fans better know what they're asking for in firing a 10-win coach. I'm with you. I think that any program who's firing a guy who's winning them 10 games a year, even when you're LSU and you expect to win a national championship every year, which is almost absurd to think that you can, especially when you play in the same division as Alabama, but their expectations may be getting too high. But, man, I understand the frustration that they have with that guy because he makes some bonehead decisions. And the fact that he can't recruit a quarterback that's worth a damn is got to be getting flustering to fans. And I know that's what happened with Mac Brown. You know, when Mac Brown had Vince Young and Colt McCoy, there were no complaints. There were no people saying, oh, they should get rid of this guy. Once Garrett Gilbert showed he couldn't play and they fell into that run, then all of a sudden it was like, we got to get a new coach. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And the fans don't like that. And Mac tried a few guys, couldn't get one. They finally let him go. And really, I don't know that Charlie Strong's found that answer until this week. It looked like maybe he did, but there's a long way to go before we know that.
Right.
But yeah, the fact that Les Miles has been there for so long and has been so crummy at that position and has had the success that he has in spite of being that crummy at that position is pretty insane.
Yeah, I get that. It's funny. Last Panda asked me, I'm happy for UH. How do you think that offensive line held up? Quarterback couldn't run for much yards. Hey, Oklahoma's got some beasts in there. I thought they did okay. But kind of getting to the LSU point, it's sometimes you got to look at the other team and realize, hey, man, they had a pretty good game plan.
Yeah.
This is a good football team. And this team.
And that was also a tough environment to play.
Yeah, going to Lambeau.
That was not a 50-50 split.
No, not even close. So there are other good programs out there besides yours.
Yeah.
There's other good coaches out there besides yours. You're going to lose some games sometime. And when you play high-profile games like this and lose them, then I know it's a bigger deal. But yeah, LSU plays five of these games a year. And Les wins a lot of them.
Yep.
But right now, I don't know who you're going to get that's going to get you any closer to beating Nick Saban.
Tom Herman.
Maybe. Maybe he would. I don't know.
Listen, I don't think anybody's beating Nick Saban. Yeah. That's the reality. That's the worst thing for LSU, even compared to all these other teams. Like, who can we get to make us win this conference? Everybody can say, well, we could get Tom Herman, make us a legit contender. We could get, Ohio State went out and got Urban Meyer. Jim Harbaugh went to Michigan. But if you play in that SEC West, the list of coaches you can get to go win that division for you consistently is very short until Nick Saban decides to walk away.
Yeah.
Because Nick Saban is the best coach. And Nick Saban, at least in the recent past, and my guess is the foreseeable future, gets the best players. I don't see that changing as long as he's there. And they're not firing him anytime soon. He's there as long as he wants to be.
Sometimes you just need to change the voice. I think people, it's like being married for a long time. After a while, you just kind of get tired of listening to them. And I know that it's that way with fans especially, but you got to step back and realize what you got sometimes.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. And they lose to Wisconsin. That's a tough loss. But when you play games like that in your non-conference, because you're going to lose some of them. They almost lost the one here, if you remember, when they played Wisconsin at NRG, or I guess it was Reliant at the time. That's not an easy win, no matter what. They lose this game, which, you know, you lose to a team that's consistently ranked in the top 25 every single year. You lose it basically a home game for them. Usually that's not such an alarming thing, but for some reason it was very alarming to LSU fan this year. They're going to beat the hell out of Jacksonville State next week. They're going to beat the hell out of Mississippi State the week after that. If they go and win at Auburn, people are going to start to kind of settle down about this fire Les Miles stuff, and then they get Mizzou after that.
Yeah.
If he starts losing games to Mizzou, let's start panicking again. But to me, this was the if you look at the first, hell, this might have been the toughest game on their schedule until they play Ole Miss.
considering where they're playing.
Yeah.
I mean, at Florida is not an easy game, but that might be easier than playing Wisconsin in freaking Lambeau week one. So I don't think it's, you know, time for all this doom and gloom just yet. I think let's wait and see how this season pans out. I never thought LSU was going to be better than Alabama. And I thought that maybe they were a little bit overhyped coming into this season, considering we didn't know who their quarterback was going to be. But I also understand that they're pretty good every year. You know, it's hard to start them out the season at number 18.
Right.
But, you know, this is there's going to be – until you're Alabama and there's only one, you're going to have seasons where you lose two or three games. It happens. And most schools accept that and are okay with it. LSU, for whatever reason, can't seem to grasp that.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We got a lot more to get to, and we will get to all of it.
Yeah, and Saturday, September 24th, just a couple weeks away, the Kima Boardwalk Craft Beer Festival. There's going to be 24 breweries out there, over 72 craft beers. A lot of local breweries, including Eighth Wonder, St. Arnold, Carbach, they're all going to be out there. There's also going to, and I should mention the Galveston Beer or Galveston Island Brewing. They're going to be down there. There's going to be a lot of national breweries as well, such as Bear Republic, New Belgium, Rogue, some big time breweries out there as well, sampling their stuff. And you're going to want to be there. $44.95 if you buy tickets in advance at KimaBeerFest.com. $39.95 for military, and that's on site only. Tickets include all your beer samples, giveaways, beer brats, and live music. A couple American blues rock bands, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and the Slags are going to be down there. Check it out online, KimaBeerFest.com. Get your hands on all that brew. Get down to the Kima Boardwalk and enjoy a day of good music and good beer. That's KimaBeerFest.com for the Kima Boardwalk Craft Beer Festival. KimaBeerFest.com.
Listening to The Blitz.
Hold on to your butt.
On ESPN 97.5.